Blog Talk Radio.
Nalindilele pakumfwa kamangu kababemba kalila.
Through this song, I remember and celebrate the life of Zambia's unsung heroes. I remember Robinson Puta, Titus Mukupo, Lawrence Katilungu, Michael Chilishe, Patu Simoko, Timi Mvula, Teddy Chilambe, Spock Chola, Brian Chiwangu, Godfrey Chitalu, Alex Chola, and the unnamed mothers, daughters, and sisters that have inspired us all for the greater good of this country. So hear me out.
Good morning and welcome to our third and final segment of our show today on Zambia Blog Talk Radio. It is 10 a.m. in Dallas, Texas, 8 in California on the West Coast, and 11 a.m. Eastern Central Time on the New York, Florida, those that are on the East Coast and everybody else. And I believe it's 1800 hours in Zambia and 4 p.m. in London, England. Welcome to the show. Today we're having an open discussion, and I just wanted to talk about something that is prevailing in the, what do you call it, in on the scenario in view of the impending attacks in, which happened in Paris last week, which have actually prompted a lot of debate, particularly here in the United States, and with the issue of the refugees. And we shall be talking about this and hear what everybody has to say. Your host today, again at this hour, Nathan Nkama from Dallas, Texas. And I appreciate all my colleagues that are joining me. And I've come back here again. Dr. Kalonde, welcome back.
Thank you.
Yes, Dr. Patrick, as always, is here. Roger, my friend, I think he's going to be on the road or he'll be running. And Chisebwe, I believe so, and everybody else. The question I want us to address here, those that are able to say something or participate or talk, Roger has to, I would have loved you to call, to connect, what's his name, Oji from Nigeria, so that we hear the Boko Haram situation, but we can try to do that another time, probably, since we've had that challenge. The question for the topic here that I've put up is everybody else, Roger, Dr. Patrick, is Syrian refugees versus politicians. That's the title of this discussion, Rakalonde. And I want us to zero in and sort of get to the bottom of this thing and look at it generally. I was looking at the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees to try and understand how it works, how it operates, what is their objective, their themes, and all those things, and how it just one sentence from the website. It says UNHCR's primary purpose is to safeguard the rights and well-being of refugees. And I think this is basically just a humanitarian effort where, in my opinion, politics should be put aside and people have a human face to this situation. Let me get down to asking those of you that have called in. I want to get your views. Basically, all of us are here, I think, live in the United States, okay? And I want to get your responses, United States or North America, for Roger. I want to get your responses. The first time you heard the comments that were made, when you heard 20 plus U.S. governors were not going to receive or accept settlement of refugees in their states. I don't know what was your first impression that came to your mind. Dr. Kalonde, I'm going to put you on the spot to respond first.
Yeah.
Dr. Kalonde. Okay. Raj, say, why you
sorry, 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 sorry. I was on mute. Sorry.
I know this phone.
I was.
So you heard my question or statement?
Yes, I heard everything. When I heard that, I just one word came to. I mean, three words came to my mind.
Uh huh.
Politics as usual. That's all.
All right. Uh huh. Politics as usual.
Well, after Bakalonde said what he has said, we might as well end the show here, Roger.
Well, it is. This one was a tricky question. I think it has taken me a few days to recover, so to say, from this situation. If these guys. We're asking a question this morning, what will it take for this terrorism to end? And when we see, we've said it before on this show, not all Muslims are terrorists, but what we know is that all the terrorists are Muslim. That's a fact. And we cannot overcoat it with anything.
Yes.
So if the idea of bringing people to America, to Canada, all over, look what has happened to Europe, to France. At the end of the day, would just mean this country is incubating, so to say, these guys who can turn against the only country they are living in.
Mm-hmm.
In my view, what is the point of bringing them? What is the reason of welcoming them? If at the end of the day, you run to that risk. It may be a very, very, very shallow way of thinking, I think on my part. It may be a shallow way of thinking. But this is a real, real fear a lot of people are having now. We are having 56% of the American people saying no. Even here, a very welcoming country, Canada, is now saying, we are not sure about this.
Okay, so that's a good point to bring in, Roger, before I go Kuribachise probably get... I didn't... So is that the position that Canada has taken as well?
Well, Canada, as a liberal government, they are still going ahead to bring in. But the poll which they took has flipped, you know? So before this event happened, it was high up there. The Harper government even lost the election was that they were too slow to react to the Syrian problem to bring in people. Mm. They were being too slow, so they were being blamed. Today, that thing has flipped over. Almost 56% of Canadians are saying, I think we should hold on. We should hold on to this issue of bringing the refugees.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting point. Let's welcome. Let me welcome Dr. Munsanje here. Dr. Munsanje, good morning.
Good morning. I've been listening from the other phone, but I just got back to my usual phone.
Okay. Yeah, because I was saying to myself, whose number is it? I don't recognize this number.
This is 484. So that's my number.
Exactly. What was your initial response, Dr. Munsanje, when you heard that you live in the United States, that 26 plus governors, now Rogers just informed us that things are flipped in Canada when they said they will not accept,
the refugees.
The refugees, the Syrian refugees specifically.
Yes. I was very disappointed. You know, America has been a model country, at least in my case. That is why I came here. I was told that America is where you can have your freedom. It's a land of the liberty. You know, there are so many icons that go along with that. And for me to hear that... about 60 governors don't want refugees. I started thinking about our own country, Zambia. You know, we have had so many refugees from our neighboring states, South Africa, Zimbabwe, Angola, Mozambique. You know, if we said that we cannot take those refugees, we would have been called all sorts of names by the same Americans. I think
but
that...
Dr. Mosanje, before I go to Dr. Patrick here and get his initial statement, like Roger said, this is a different scenario, and you don't know who you are bringing into the country. How do you respond to that?
Oh, no, no, no. That one, I am with the United States. Yes, they needed to have a very stringent vetting system of making sure the person that they bring here is not a terrorist. But I think that is going to be very tough to do. They should try their best.
Okay. Before we will get to the vetting system, which I believe Donald Trump said it's difficult because these people are not in our database. Dr. Patrick, what was your initial response or reaction when you heard the position, I believe 20-plus U.S. governors have taken on the refugee situation? I believe your state, too, has taken that position. What was your initial response?
There are 30 states where the government said they will not accept Syrian refugees, and 18 where governors said that they would accept refugees. There is an old saying which goes like this: the squeaking wheel gathers the most attention, and those who are against accepting or bringing in Syrian refugees are ignorant of the policies that the United States have in place. Syrian refugees do not come directly to the United States. They're initially vetted by the United Nations, and then after the United Nations vet, then the United States applies a in-depth vetting system in which biometrics is used. So in order for a Syrian refugee to get into the United States, they will have to go through a great deal of hoops. And it will take approximately 1 year for the Syrian refugee to get through those hoops. Let me just read something for everyone to remember and think about. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Think of that. I was in prison, and came to visit me.
Dr. Patrick, you are saying you've tabulated the vetting system.
And truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And that's from Matthew 25:35-40. This statement is found in the Quran. It's found in of the texts, religious texts throughout the world. It's phrased differently, but it has the same meaning. And a lot of individuals who are hesitant about accepting Syrian refugees into the United States should think about it. And they should also think about what happened to the Jewish refugees that tried to come into the United States in the 1930s.
Okay. Dr. Kalonde, before I will go to Matilda here, the you
and don't
you,
forget me, Roger. I mean, Nathan, you wanted me to make a comment.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Dr. Thor. Let me go to Vachi Febo. Make your comment, Vachi Febo. What's your position?
Thank you, Nathan, for this opportunity. And we can't solve all the problems today, but this will be a good thing for upcoming leaders and upcoming religious leaders and every sector of decision making in the world, because everyone
can
wants to come to this country.
Volume.
And just before this you know. Here we open the doors for the immigrants to come. And when he said that, man, just I couldn't help it to Google it and to see the way they Allentown, the economy, our the economy is going. But what I want to say, Nathan, is, you know, the Syrians are coming from. I don't know if I should touch this on religious thing. You know, we say the way we look at America as a secular nation, you know, but they are ready to welcome these people. And when these people come here, they will have free education and everything else. But look at the way we say these are infidels, and we think like they don't have morals and they don't have you know, they'll go to hell and stuff like that. But they're ready to receive this the refugees. It's a unique position where America is, the world, you know, all the leaders, and where these refugees are coming from. I feel sorry for those leaders, you know, to let our own people they are going. And at the same time, I feel good for the Americans' leadership, how they look for, how they treat other people. I really appreciate this, the leadership of this country. You know, and for other states to start to try to refuse them coming, it's a system working, you know, it's check and balances. It's a system at work. That's how the way I look at it. It's a system at work.
System at work. Okay. Mrs. Lucas, what really is the fear or the concern with the backdrop of the people that have really done or have endeavored to do some of the attacks that have been foiled are actually citizens of those countries in which they are trying to cause the harm or the destruction?
Okay. I've heard part. I was following the question and forgot the first part. I apologize, Nathan. You said, what
That's
is
okay.
the harm that has been caused by those who have...
No, I'm saying what really is the fear in
okay.
the light that the people, the terrorists who are causing these problems are citizens of those countries in which they are causing the harm. Because, you see, this organization, the strategy is recruit from within the nation, because they know they can't come through the border or through the airport. They'll be detected. So that's a style. Now, my question to you is, what do you think really is the fear or what is the concern with that backdrop I've given you?
Right. So I think I saw some of this yesterday on, if it wasn't CNN, it must have been on Fox News. I think there are some countries that have, and I do need to research, so please forgive me. If you know information, you can fill in. But I think there are some countries that have a visa leniency into the United States or some kind of they are not scrutinized as much. So if they are recruited, they are from within a certain country, probably that has a good relationship with another country. They are fearing that, you know, if their measures are not strict, these people are going to come in and flood in their country or their nation or wherever they are trying to go. People usually fear something they don't know or don't understand, and quickly stereotype everyone and just say, all these people belong to the same group, they all have the same intentions. But at the same time, you have to be careful. The person who might look the least harmful is the one who might cause the most harm. So
yes,
those unknown variables are what causes that that fear, that harm. I mean, that terror in people to say, okay, if they're doing this, they can quickly, they can easily do the next thing, you know.
Interesting. Dr. Patrick, is it, you heard what Dr. Kalonde said here. He said, one, politics as usual, okay? And number two, like I've mentioned to Matilda, the people that are doing this, and she has mentioned a critical point to say, they are coming from countries where you don't need a visa to get into the United States. So is this concern justified, or it's as politics as usual, like Dr. Kalonga said? Dr. Patrick. The smartphones are keeping us. Your cheeks hit mute without you realizing you have done that. Wagalon, do you want to respond to that statement?
You see, the politics as usual statement actually goes to the governor's decision, because you see, this is the policy of the government about refugees. America's
yes, federal government.
Refugees, yes, the America's been receiving refugees for years and years. Now, here is the one statement also that came from my brother in Canada, Roger, when
Roger.
He said, "Not all Muslims are terrorists, but all terrorists are what?
Are Muslims."
That's where the problem is. Now, in Bemba, for those who don't understand Bemba, somebody will translate. We say this. Umusuku uvi, utukishempanga. You see, that's where the problem is. The problem is our brothers, the Muslims, most of the times, they failed to fight these. They are the actual infidels. They are the actual infidels that they are supposed to be fighting within their religion.
Whoa. Please do not spread that around. All terrorists are not Muslims. There are terrorists that are Hindu. There are terrorists that are Christian here in the United States, as everyone knows.
We are talking about the Middle East problem.
Yes, we are talking about the Middle East problem, but bear in mind, many of those terrorists do not practice Islam. They say they are Muslims, but they do not practice Islam.
Well, if you say you are this, that's what you are.
That's what they want you to believe.
I want you both.
Be very careful with those statements.
I want you both to respond to this statement.
Go ahead.
I'll give each. I want you both to respond to this statement. It is clear, one, that the Muslim community to some extent have rejected ISIS as not being Muslim, okay? That's number one. Then number two, I want you both to respond to this statement. I think the Muslim countries, particularly in the Middle East, have not handled this thing adequately. I'll go with Dr. Kalonde first. Go first and then Dr. Patrick.
You see, saying that the ISIS is not Muslim is not true, because what we see and what we know is what? What is the meaning of the word ISIL?
Islamic State,
that,
I think so.
Which is what? Which is Muslim. straight away right there. One, two. Their governments have failed to handle the problem because some of them support whatever they are doing. And at the same time...
I'll interject you right there, Vakalonde. You and I know a lot of people use Christian expressions, and yet they don't act according to the Christian values. In my opinion, if America was really Christian,
that it does not mean...
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
It does not mean if I saw you don't act. It does not mean if you don't act Christian, does not mean that you are not a Christian. You see? It does not mean that you are not a Christian. If, say, for instance, somebody comes to school every day and they fail, it does not mean that that person is not a student. That person is a student, only that they failed. The same with those people who try to practice a certain religion, but they don't do it right, it does not mean that they are not.
Dr. Grande, my question to you is, let's say you're Muslim. I'm not sure of what your faith is, but let's say you're Muslim. Being that you're a Muslim, you're automatically a terrorist. Let's just say you are a Muslim. Well, see that's the problem.
It doesn't mean that if I'm a Christian, automatically I become a born again.
See, that's the problem with blanketing a language. That's the problem with blanketing a language for an entire religion.
Nobody said they are.
Dr. Kalonde, let him finish. Let him finish. I want us to switch to something here. I don't want us to dwell on this too much.
Okay. That's the problem of blanketing a religion with the same connotation of terrorism. I would be very careful. If we're talking about ISIL, let's talk about ISIL and the terrorists that's involved in ISIL and they professing to practice Islam, which I doubt very seriously. What they want is they want a holy war, a jihad against Christians and Muslims. And that's not going to happen because we're not going to label ISIL as being a Muslim group. We're going to call them terrorists.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Dr. Musanje and Matilda,
no,
my
let me
come back to it here. The second part of the question, which you have both not addressed, I'll throw it, Dr. Musanje and Matilda. Have the Islamic countries in the Middle East done enough and addressed this issue adequately? Dr. Musanje, Matilda.
Matuda, go ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Musanje. In terms of how they have addressed it, each nation, each Islamic nation, hold on, give me a second. I'm about to go somewhere where it's noisy. Just one quick second, and I'll get back. All right. I'm back. I apologize. All right. Most of the Islamic nations, or most of the countries in the Middle East,
mm-hmm.
first of all, do not even agree amongst themselves where they want to follow the Quran. So there are some who are educated enough to read the Quran and understand what the Quran says, and they live by it. And there are some who, unfortunately, do still rely on oral history. And I say this confidently because yesterday I was in a meeting somewhere where one of the top military people had come back from an assignment in Afghanistan, and he was explaining how some people who are judges of the law, you know, this is government, legislature, I mean judiciary, they'll carry on something, but they cannot read nor write. So how do you enforce something when you can't even read or write it? They rely so much on the verbal or what has been told to them in the past. So, and this is in Afghanistan. So how the people in Afghanistan will live as an Islamic nation is very different from those in Saudi Arabia and from those in Turkey. Turkey is a Muslim Islamic country, majority, I think. Mm-hmm. But their women do not even wear the hijab. Their women can wear pants. So how are the countries addressing terrorism? It all depends on how strongly they believe which part of the Quran and not. There are some who will tell you how peaceful Islam is, and you see the peace of it. And there are some who are so hell-bent on jihad, revenge, you know, kill the infidel, you know. So I don't think they have addressed it well, because they amongst themselves cannot agree. And even those within the country, in Iraq, for example, or maybe mm-hmm. Iran, where you have the Sunni and the, who are the other guys?
Shiite.
Thank you. The Sunni mm-hmm. and the Shiite. They can't even agree. They are all Muslims, but there are certain things that, finer things that they cannot agree on, and they'll fight amongst themselves. So this is really going to take an act of God.
Okay.
I think to answer your question specifically, the Muslim countries have not addressed this problem, and that is partly one of the problems why the America itself is very hesitant to bring in the refugees, because those countries, they seem sometimes maybe they even agree with what ISIS is doing. Some of the countries, yes, they are fighting ISIS, but it's the preaching hatred. It always brings more hatred, and that is what exactly is happening. So, in other words, those countries have not done enough.
Okay. Excellent. You listen to Zambia Blog Talk Radio. This is a roundtable discussion. Our topic is simply Syrian refugees versus politicians. Basically, it's just based on the 30, I'm told, as of today, United States governors who have said they will not receive or resettle Syrian refugees in their countries. And the Republican presidential candidates have also put in their argument or how they are looking at this issue. Let me welcome Curtis here. I don't know how much he has heard or he has followed this discussion. I'll go quickly, Akalonde, to finish your comment, Akalonde. Curtis, good morning and welcome back.
Hey, good morning, Nathan.
Excellent. Akalonde, you wanted to finish something you started.
Yeah, on my contribution where I said the Musuku we took Shempanga. You see, mm-hmm. the problem is that America is a very welcoming country, better than any other country in the world. But what the American government and the American people are really, really skeptical about is that some people want to take advantage and come in. So, for instance, if you look at what has happened in France, and somebody is found that came in as a refugee, passing through Greece as a refugee, then they come into America. Well, the other issue that is, what has been discussed is, they are easily, these guys can come in innocently, vetted and everything. But the one problem that might come in is, again, they can be radicalized when they are inside America. There is a fear to that also. And it's very easy to change somebody's mind, like they've been doing when they go to Europe. And most of them, I'm surprised that even Africans are doing that. Look at the girl from Morocco who strapped a vest to in France. You see, the problem is, like I said, when you're eating peanuts, my brother, you've eaten peanuts, and in the process you throw in one rotten one, what do? You spit all of them, you see? This is where the problem is. It's not like America is just, or the Republicans are just trying to become what people have painted them all along. Yes, we have a theme. As I told you, I just told you in the first segment, that my son
was asking. My son was scared. He's 12 years. He feels like this thing is coming to America now. It's a danger, and we cannot just accept everybody that comes in or just allow because they are refugees. You know, sometimes we have to face reality. That's how I feel like.
But okay.
Obama government decides that they are going to do it, I don't see how the state governors would stop it.
Another.
Okay.
Roger. Oh, rather, Cletus. I meant to say Cletus. I'm sorry. Cletus, you. Of course, I've told you what I've explained. What the discussion is.
Yes.
An overview of your perception of this thing, the response of the governors, the response of the Republican presidential candidates. What is really the genuine concern, and what part of it is just politicking? It's a campaign period.
I'll tell you this. It's 99% politics. You
mm-hmm.
know why? First of all, the governors don't have any statutory powers to have a say in the immigration process of the United States. That power is vested in the federal government, you know?
Okay.
And
mm-hmm.
when people talk about, the terrorists might sneak in. The terrorists might sneak in. Out of the eight, I hate to mention Paris, that did that thing the other Friday, seven of them were legal residents, legal. So just one person who happened to be a bad apple, you know, wouldn't count that, then we are going to close the border, you know. The second thing is, here in America, this, you know, internal terror, you know, 11,000 people die of gun violence in America. 11,000 people who hate to look at figures and say, like, how many of the terrorists killed in America since 2000? It should be like maybe less than a percentage of that, you know, figure that people kill here in America. What's the difference between somebody shooting in a theater who is American and somebody who is not American? He saw violence, right? He saw
yes.
death.
Yes.
You know? So will America stop giving visas also? Because a terrorist can get a visa and come to America
yes.
legally. Some will even get citizenship and still do harm, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So all that talk has no, you know, founded safety net to say that, why are we going to do this and to make America safer? No.
But some people may not have been terrorists when they got their visas. They could have just been regular citizens. The day that the Paris bombings happened, the very day, and I think almost at the same time, I was watching a film on immigration. And in that movie, I didn't even know this was happening in Paris, but in the film, they depicted an Indian girl. She grew up in the United States, born in India or Pakistan. She was making a speech about the people who caused the 9/11 attacks. Her
yes.
point, which was very deep, and I hope I won't lose anyone on this, and I hope I don't misquote her. She said, sometimes you speak out and people don't listen. You try to say they shut you down, they are not paying attention. So you scream and they still don't listen until you do something terrible just to get heard. So unfortunately, her speech was on freedom of speech, but she was painted now as a person who is a sympathizer for those people. And she said, no, I'm not saying that. But if you suppress people long enough, they can end up doing something terrible or horrific just to get to be heard. You know, we see that played out in different ways, including suicide. Now, of course, as the movie proceeded, she got deported because they thought she was trying to be, you know, she was a sympathizer and so on. But
uh-huh.
the people in Syria, if we go back and remember when Syria was being gassed, you know, those poisonous gas, and the Syrian government is denying they didn't do anything. There are people said, America, we've cried out to you. We won't forget that you turned your backs on us. You know what I mean? And that has been, what, 3 or 4 years? They said that. They said, America, we've cried out. You have kept quiet. Our people, our children, innocent people are dying. You haven't even made open negotiations with the government. We will not forget this. We won't forget. And look at what's happening now, you know. So we have to really pay closer attention to why are they doing this and try to address it from that angle. Not to say that we sympathize, but try to get to the point, to the bottom of it.
My sister Matilda, what you said is right. But let's be also somehow sympathetic also to the American position. You see, I'll say it in Bemba. Now, Vachila, they are too much. I have to be honest, they are too much. You see, every disagreement with them, hello?
Yes.
We can hear you.
Every disagreement with them, they have to run to strapping bombs around themselves and killing innocent people. No, Rwanda people, almost 1 million people died, and nobody ran to Rwanda to help them. Not even one person has turned into a terrorist. These people also must be able to think like human beings. It's just too much. You see, you cannot just have, every time somebody disagrees with you, you are going to shoot them or to bomb them. No, they have to learn to live with other societies and to live within the means. Yes, they are just too much, actually. They are just too much.
Here is the other point I want us to zero in as we're getting into the last quarter of our discussion. The other thing that amazes me, Cletus, with Dr. Kalonde, Dr. Musanje Matilda, is that the way the inertia from the fellow Arab countries, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, which is part of the European Union, does it always have to be America to jump into these things, Dr. Musanje? Why can't those countries solve their problems within their region? What is the issue? What is the issue? Anybody? I mean, Turkey is part of the European Union.
First of all, listen, right?
Yeah.
When they are saying, oh, these people, the jihadists are just a small element of who the Muslims are. The Muslim population is very, very huge, you know?
Yes, it is.
So when you talk of, they are not loved even in their own sphere, you know? They are radicals.
Mm.
So I was thinking about that question before, like, why is it that all those nations around there are just let the West, you know, fight it out with the, when there was Al-Qaeda and then, you know, there's this offspring ISIS and all other terrorist groups, you know. Mostly the answer lies in how they conducted the war in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Okay.
You know, people thought that Saddam was a real big dictator that, you know, was preventing democracy to take root over there. And then they thought, out of their theoretical projection, that when they take out Saddam, then, you know, freedom will spread and democracy and everybody will live happy ever after. You know, and that was a flawed thought which a lot of people fought in America. People are demonstrating here in New York City. Big lines, like almost like 50 streets. People demonstrating against the Iraq war. And you know what happened, you know? So it's like America opened the can of worms there in the Middle East. And they even multiplied it by, you know, killing the Libyan leader, Muammar Gaddafi,
yeah.
Yeah. So that guy, Saddam, wasn't a Democrat like we would love him to be, but he was keeping the security of the Middle East.
He was in control.
Yes. And, you know, a lot of people didn't want him, you know, taken off like that, killed, and what followed. But now that this thing has come to where it is, it's very, very difficult for them to try to engage themselves.
What about countries like Indonesia, which are predominant? I think that's the largest Muslim country in the world. Most people don't even know that.
Yes.
It's got the largest percentage of East Muslims here. What about Indonesia? What about Malaysia? What about Kuwait?
On paper, they are almost like, nothing. There are like 65 countries that have signed up to it. Is there how much resources they put together to help America?
Yes.
You know, that matters. But if you go and look it up, you find that there are so many countries, including Indonesia itself, that have vowed that, you know, they will help fight terrorism. And in fact, in their countries, they have had a lot of terrorist attacks in Indonesia.
Mm-hmm. Okay, my concluding question here would be, not really concluding, but what is Africa's role in this situation? Matilda, what is Africa's role, Dr. Kalonde?
Should we ask Boko Haram? It's not funny. But again, you know, if we look at the country of Nigeria, where, first of all, just very quick, you know, we heard like in Mali or more recently, before they killed the people, they're asking them to quote a part of the Quran. The Nigerians have been doing this for a very long time with the Boko Haram, you know. There's a certain thing that they have agreed amongst themselves to say, you know, if we say this, those who are Muslims will know exactly how to answer. Just like if we Christians would say he is risen, we know the response as Christians, you know. if you're not a Christian, be like, okay. So if Boko Haram is doing some kind of, they have their own agenda. Very, very different from what this, I think, I don't know if it's ISIS or, I think ISIS is part of Al-Qaeda, who are on the other side of Africa, there with Sudan and Djibouti, around that side. Their agendas are different. If we look up north, the Egyptians, the Muslims there have a different agenda, you know, so Africa as a whole, I don't know how we can find out how we can find a seat at the table. What's our place at the table? Because within ourselves there, you know, especially in the northern countries or countries that embrace Islam more than others, they have their own differences. You know, if then in Nigeria the Muslims and the Christians are taking turns bombing each other. They bomb a church, they bomb a mosque. They bomb this, they do this, you know. I don't know. I can't even think of a feasible solution. Other than
I wish we could have connected Oji, our brother from Nigeria, to come in here. Dr. Munsanje, where does this, what do you see, how does Africa fall into this picture? We've got our own problems, Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab in East Africa, and where does Africa fall into this picture? Okay. Where does Africa fall into this picture?
Yeah, can you repeat the question about Nathan?
Where does Africa fall into this picture? We've also got our own problems with Boko Haram in Nigeria, Al-Shabaab in East Africa, Kenya and Somalia, and other, you know, like Matilda has articulated. North Africa has got its own challenge. West Africa, we just saw what happened in Mali yesterday or the other day.
Yes, Africa, we need to make friends with good allies that will help us in terms of a problem. And the problem with what's going on around the Middle East, even Nigeria, is those people who call themselves Muslims, you know.
Mm.
And especially for Zambia, we have to be careful who we bring in with certain beliefs. And we can learn a lot from what's going on in the world, especially for Zambia. We shouldn't just let everybody just come and tell us their doctrine or their teaching, you know. We have to, you know, to be very careful.
Does Zambia have the capacity to take that route, letters of being careful with the bringing? Letters?
Yes.
Does Zambia have the capacity to screen who they bring into the country?
No, Roger. It's not a laughing matter, but our borders are very porous. You know, that's why we do have a lot of influx of even foreigners settling in Zambia.
You know, Vanathan, I had touched on this earlier, but I didn't go in depth on during the show Roger had in the morning, when I was saying, you know, my reflection with the flag, the French flag over our Facebook profiles and so on, and how most Zambians just went on an uproar to say, oh, you know, they need to do this, they need to, we are saying they, but what about us? And I asked some questions that my friends who were making noise, whether they were with me or for me or against whatever, they did not respond. What are the solutions? Are we prepared as a nation to respond should there be a terror attack? The first time this thing happened in Kenya, when the embassy was attacked, Kenya was not even on a country to have been saying, oh, there could be terrorist activities. It just happened, you know. We don't know why they select or how they select the countries they go to, but Zambia, as a nation, are we prepared? Should there be an attack? Do we have a response?
That's a good one. What's our
homeland? Homeland security policies. Do we as the people in Zambia know how to respond? Where do you go? Where do you run? How do you react? You know?
We need to find address that topic. Rakalonde, I want you to you're gonna
let
take the last question. And add on to
what
you have
said.
Then before you respond, Bakalonde, as you add on, I also want you to answer this question as we conclude. Why is China quiet about everything?
Let me start with my sister's statement.
Yes.
Let me add on to what my sister just said. The problem that we have now, you see, this is where the economic stability in a country becomes a security matter. With all this porousness of our borders, with all these economic strifes people are going through, what would make somebody not take money from these people in the pretext that they are trying to help them, you see? So our people in Zambia at the moment, they are at risk of doing things they are not supposed to, or accepting somebody, even for a room to rent, when this person is not the right person that is supposed to be in anybody's house. Because we don't know who they are. But because of this economic stability, a lot of things must be taken into consideration in terms of how we protect and defend our country. Now, coming to China, the Chinese can be quiet because they benefit during all these problems. That's why they are quiet. They benefit economically. Because at the moment when everybody's eyes are concentrating on the problems, they are finding ways of getting into those other countries and get their natural resources, get their resources to benefit China. That's the way they are operating. That's where the problem is. It's not like they are financing anybody or what. They don't care.
They just take a passive position.
Do you know that China is one of the largest Islamic nations? We think of Buddhism, but Islam is pretty strong there.
Yes, it is, actually. It is. Most of the southern part of China is Islam, you see.
Mm.
But the problem is, in terms of the government responding or making a statement or even fighting anything, it's not their business. All they want is to make a buck out of everything. That's where their position is. And as we concentrate on looking on that, they are finding ways of getting into these other countries while America is busy trying to defend its land and its interests all over the world. America, China finds way of getting into these other places. But unfortunately, in terms of Zambian problem,
we are in deeper trouble than everybody might think we are. In terms of how, yeah. Look at how many Nigerians now are in Zambia. And look at the biggest, you know what? People have talked about the, I was watching yesterday, sorry if some people go to Fox, I spend my time on MSNBC. I was watching yesterday on Rachel Maddow's show how many people have been killed within this 1 year by Boko Haram. There are 600 plus more than I saw as killed. The terrorists in Africa are more serious and more dangerous to the African continent than anybody can think about. So if we don't pay attention as a nation, as Zambia, to what Boko Haram is doing in Nigeria, we might become a victim because we are welcoming to everybody. That is where our security problem comes in.
Excellent. Thank you, Bakalonde. Well, everybody, our time is up. Next week we'll be talking entrepreneurship, the young generation in Zambia, and how they are going entrepreneurship route rather than graduating and looking for a job. We'll be talking to a group of young people from there and their vision and their way forward. And then some other things will be coming up. I'm still trying to get Dr. Mumba to come and discuss the issue of the country building a prayer chapel or temple, tabernacle, whatever they are calling it. I want him to come and explain that and where things stand on that situation and why the government is getting involved in faith matters and trying to use money for that. All right, that has been our show today. Cletus, thank you. We need to put a panel together probably from our policymakers in Zambia and see what they are thinking about this issue, Bakalonde. Because I think it's important for us to address this from our perspective and our Zambian point of view. This coming week in the United States, it's Thanksgiving week. So from Zambia Block Talk Radio and all my colleagues and team, we do wish everybody a great Thanksgiving. I'm happy that we can take a little bit of rest and not be able to shuttle the kids back and forth from school. At least they take the whole week off. That is good for those of us with kids. Cletus doesn't understand that. For him, he just goes on shuttling himself in the subway train and enjoying life. Thank you, everybody. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you next weekend at the same time.
Amai kuvutika mutima Koma zoti tazisoa Nimaona misozi masomu wake Nimavuto wabale nimavuto Te wanga ineo moyo wa chinja mama neo Ntawi zonte alikumowa kudhibe ntawiyo na kubanja Kumwana hako kuipirenji kuchitoko na mumu follow Hamama inei nizi wanda zota nizi Taeza talema na yuma pempelo Atikapena siku lina Azati kumbukila oye Chifu kwa lelo Bantu bonse basowesa ulemu atate imwe Tinga nkale osangalala Tuba ingatoka